The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is the family, you know, and it's, you know, I had promised that I would do, before I got sick and had to be hospitalized, that I would follow through with a kind of a preparation for the new year. And the new year is going to be tomorrow. And this is New Year's Eve. And we're there. And it's a Sunday. Yesterday, I imagine the Hebrews, spiritual, those who gave us, we are indebted to them for the graces and especially the readings of the Old Testament. So Genesis is family was so important to God. And so if you're going to be teaching about God in any way, you're going to have to teach about family. And God so loved this world. His first desire was to save this family, Adam and Eve. And he placed them in paradise in this relationship. And when they fell, there's such a disastrous fall. And under the power of sin and Satan and death, the consequences to that were so terrible. But God, in his love, wanted to create a family. He didn't only call Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And so it's very important today that we read Genesis 15, the first that the church presents us with way back in the history of mankind. God wants us to be a family. He wants us to be his family. And we, not just our Jewish brothers and sisters, but we Christians, Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the relationship that he wants, that God wants with mankind, all of us, is a relationship of family. We are God's children, and he sent his only son, his only begotten son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, whose feast day we celebrated at Christmas, birth of Jesus into the world. And a week later, we are celebrating today the family, God's family, Jesus and Mary and Joseph. The little family at Nazareth, he wanted to put up there as a sign. But read behind God and his relationship with us. He is the principal father. He's the father of Jesus. He sent his son into the world so that we Christians have been adopted as his children. We are his family. He is our God, and we are his children, through, with, and in Jesus Christ. So that, you know, it's not just the relationship that we have. And if it is true that Sirach in the readings today, and how important it would be for us to look at that. But it is so amazing with regard to the relationship of love that children should have for their parents and parents for their children. When we read in Sirach, and I think you should read today, and as a part of the Mass text, the third chapter, the second, and read all the way to the 14th verse, because it's so instructive, and especially telling us about God. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother he has set as authority and confirms her over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins, and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. His petitions will be granted, and he will receive many riches from God. He who reveres his mother, whoever honors his father, gladdens his heart. God is so intimate to family. That's Old Testament. But New Testament, the relationship of fathers and mothers to their children and children to their parents is spelled out so beautifully in the Colossians today. As we read from the Colossians, in the relationships of family, brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, have love, that is, the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts and in your homes. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything. This is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children so that they may not become discouraged. I would say, in my 64 years of priesthood, in dealing with thousands of families, really, literally thousands over all those years, in all parts of the world, that the most broken relationship is the father, and the next one is the mother. And mothers don't seem to have injured their children as much as fathers do. That's my experience. Why would God want to call us into these relationships in a Christian family in today's world, and want us to have this call of a Christian father, a Christian mother, and you as children, if these commandments are there to be? It's not just the fourth commandment to honor your father and mother, but the complexity of this thing, that the teaching that we have in today's teaching from Sirach is he teaches us with regard to our care for our parents. It says in the book of Sirach, "My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fails, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Firmly planted against the debt of sins, a house raised in justice to you." With gerontology, the way it is today. And how many people have confused minds and have Alzheimer's and dementia? How is it possible to really follow through with this commandment with regard to love? And yet, here it is with regard to caring for your parents, and especially when they get old, and especially if they've been separated, and the complexity of today's families with regard to geography and seeking work and being in different parts of the country from your parents. And all, I see so many of the strains and the sufferings of the relationship of parents and children. of all the institutions, I think, that have been, with regard to our modern civilization, here we are preaching and teaching this role model of the Holy Family. We're going back to teaching again about the family in Nazareth. The church is setting up today as a model, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. She has this picture for us that she is presenting. And I would really just simply like to read what happened after they took the child to the temple. When the days were completed of purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. What the church is setting up for us is what Paul the Sixth called the school of the house of Nazareth. God can teach us so much by this school. And I'd like to read from Paul the Sixth's teaching, our Holy Father. Nazareth is a kind of school where we may begin to discover what Christ's life was like, and even to understand his gospel. Here we can observe and ponder the simple appeal of the way God's Son came to be known. Profound, yet full of hidden meaning. And gradually, we may even learn to imitate him. Here we can learn to realize who Christ really is. And here we can sense and take account of the conditions and circumstances that surround and affected his life on earth. The place, the tenor of the times, the culture, the language, the religious customs. In brief, everything which Jesus used to make himself known to the world. Here, everything speaks to us. Everything has meaning. Here we can learn. Here we can learn silence. If only we could once again appreciate in great value. We need this wonderful state of mind. Beset as we are by the cacophony of strident protests and conflicting claims, so characteristic of the tumult of our times, the silence of Nazareth should teach us how to meditate in peace and quiet, to reflect on deeply spiritual things, and to have an open voice to God in an inner wisdom and the counsel of his true teaching. Jesus, when he was in Nazareth, can you imagine the silence and that home? The magnificent teaching that Nazareth can give us. I have found in our day, you know, the noise, the confusion of every in family life, yelling, screaming, conflict. And when babies and children grow up in this kind of arguments of husbands and wives, what the modern family is so complex. It really needs this example again of the silence of Nazareth. Second, we can learn about family life. May Nazareth serve as a model of what the family should really be like. May it show us the family's holy and enduring character and exemplify its basic function in society. A community of love and sharing, beautiful for the problems it poses and the reward it brings. In sum, the perfect setting for rearing children, and for this there is no substitute. What a beautiful example that is with regard to that home in Nazareth. What reverence Joseph must have had for Mary. What reverence Jesus must have had for both of them. Can you imagine a school like that, where to go back to Nazareth, fathers and mothers and children? And when you look at your creche, at your the Holy Family today, the birth of Jesus, and think of your own relationships in the families, how we can really learn so much from that respect for one another and the revering of each one, a grandparent, a neighbor. And it's there. It's all in the school of Nazareth. And finally, there in the school, Paul VI writes, "In Nazareth, the home of a craftsman's son, we learn about work and the discipline it entails. I would especially like to recognize its value." You know, I really love today's modern youth. They're so idealistic, but they're so self-centered with their cell phones and whatnot. And how important it is to learn the discipline of work. And work when you're tired, to try when your arms are too weary. The kinds of things that we can do for one another when we really love one another, when we care for one another. What must have been that workmanship of Joseph, as he made his craft, how well he did what he did, how well Mary did what she did. When we do what we do with all our effort and with all the gifts that we have, how important that is to present it for our service to one another. Maybe one of the things that we especially can learn is how to work and to be in family. So many, I believe, husbands have really, they're workaholics. Maybe outside the family, they're so non-present when they come home. The work and whatever that is seems to sap their strength so much that when they come home to their children, they aren't present to them. They aren't present to what there really is on their minds, their school, their needs, their cares. And to put together the silence, the relationships, the intimacy and revering of one another, and the work. Nazareth has so much to teach us. One of the most difficult things for our, especially children, when I think of the families that I know, how many of our children grow up in families where there's constant conflict in a family? Husbands and wives that quarrel and argue and fight. Actually, that kind of, the children are so exposed to this. Not to get too idealistic, but love is the story of God. Love is the story of the Christian family. There's so many things that we can hurt one another in. There's so many things that we can turn in on ourselves. That's an old story. But the newness that we can be introduced to on this Holy Family Sunday. Look at Jesus, and who wants to unite your family through you. You could be a child in a family that's strident and angry and unforgiving. You be Christ. Your calling is mainly at home. Yes, you can have a wife that might be bitter and angry and unforgiving, but you be Christ. That's your calling. The primary call of every father is to be Christ. That's your calling. How many mothers, if you just turn in on yourself this Holy Family Sunday, can wind up just being angry and bitter and alone and unforgiving? On this Holy Family Sunday, Jesus is the example for the whole world. Jesus, when he had his Father and he could call upon him, you can call upon your Father. Your Father is not your dad who's on earth. Your Father is your Father in heaven, because you, as father or mother or son or daughter or grandchild, you are Christ. The Christian family has such a power when each one can be who he or she is called to be. The unity and the community that you were called to serve on this Holy Family Sunday, the complexity of our time, and if you are a priest and you are preaching, it's the family unit that's sitting out there in front of you Sunday after Sunday that needs your teaching about Jesus being in each member of every family. Just because you're four or five, you can be taught from the pulpit. If your father and mother don't teach you at home, you can be taught by the priest in his preaching who you are as a little child. And you can go home and be that child. Each one of us, priests, you are called to be Christ. And we are called to this family of God that's here on earth. And it is under attack. It is under attack by this modern world of ours. Divorce won't destroy the family. Only hatred will. Unforgiveness, that will destroy it. Love can shine through every family. If you don't have an earthly mother who you can feel that you can go to Mary. She is your mother. She's the mother of Jesus. And she looks at you and sees him. You are Christ to Mary. You may not understand it all fully, but I would really encourage you. And tomorrow is the Mother of God. She's Jesus' mother. She's your mother. And she is the mother of the whole church. She's the model of the church. And so we have this magnificent woman, the great model, Mary. To all women, to all of the family of God. Lastly, I would point out Christ, their brother and Lord and God, who is their prophet in every cause that promotes their welfare. That's how Paul the VI ends his encouragement as we look at the Holy Family.
Monsignor, you have many who listen to you very faithfully, who are in situations in their families that are heartbreaking in many ways. There are single moms trying to raise their kids. There are maybe even fathers in the same scenario, or there are parents that are watching their grown children and in their homes seeing such division and concern. Today can be a very difficult day with this particular type of teaching on the Holy Family because they feel that they will never be able to attain that type of relationship. Something happened and it broke. So what would your counsel be to them?
Single parents, I really feel you're heroes. Most of the people that I work with, I think there was one father that was there. But when I would work in the projects, it would be women who would be left with the children, single parents. And the love that they would give their children. My advice to you would be prayer. One of the great avenues that you have of coming into contact with your own inner self is to become aware of who you are. It's very difficult to know, you know, whatever your stories may be with regard to your being in the situation that you're in, but you are Christ in the world, and your Father is God, and you actually and truly can depend on your Father for all the things, especially when you don't have a husband that you can go to and someone that you can consult. And when you're there all by yourself with all the needs and cares and demands, and the children don't get up in the morning and ask you, how are you feeling, Mom? Because, or how are you feeling, Dad, for those of you who are single parent men, fathers. You need a relationship with God. You need a relationship with Mary. This Holy Family is not like a tinsel thing that you can, it's not like a display. It is truly something you have to become more engaged in than the ordinary husband-wife relationship. Because what you need is the guidance and the direction. And you really need to hear and talk to the Father. Because He is your Father, and you are His daughter. And He will speak to you. And you will be guided by Him. And Mary will be intimate to you. Set yourself up a home and a space, no matter how confusing the world is around you, with your children and their needs, but to be there. Be there in the morning before you go to work or before you get into the day and pray. I have not found anyone who can't find happiness because every one of your children, they're not mistakes, either yours or their. No, they are God's choice. They are sent by God. He made them. And I just knew too many, many little children who have grown up to be like Saint Martin de Porres, illegitimate. So many of our great saints and the people that I know, everyday people, that are wonderful. That's your son and your daughter. But let them and teach them who you are. You're their mother or you're their father. And teach them as a single parent, as a child of God. You can never be a parent to your children unless you are a child to God. God is the source of our strength. God bless.
Thank you very much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
So glad you're home.
Yeah. You can't be as happy as I am.
Yeah. Good. Well, I hope I hope you feel well.
One of the things that you kind of really get to be happy with is being chained to that little thing that, you know, was that my that they were feeding me. So I was very happy for it, but you just couldn't get out of bed, and I did keep my appointments, so they were able to go through the day, and the days, and they were very beautiful. Honestly, it was a command performance of the Holy Spirit and the angels. So I was happy, though it'd be home. Every day is joyful. You know, we don't see it. You know, no matter how ordinary it is, it's very beautiful.
Good. I'm so glad for you, Monsignor.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Issa. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.